You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government announced $2.75 million would be put towards a meth rehabilitation program in Hastings, led in part by former gang members. The Kahukura program, run by Hard to Reach, has received extensive media coverage, and many politicians on the right wing have spoken out against it, claiming it's just going to line the pockets of gang members. With all this outrage and speculation, I wanted to understand what the program was actually all about. I reached out to Jared Gilbert, an expert in gangs from the University of Canterbury, who argues just going tough on crime hasn't worked in Aotearoa. We discuss why people join gangs, what the government's goals should be around them, and why they are so stigmatized in New Zealand's media and politics. I started by asking Jared whether it was reasonable to argue that it is counterintuitive to get gang members who have exacerbated New Zealand's drug problem to help with drug rehab.
Certainly an irony, isn't there, that we are aware that the gangs are responsible for a significant amount of dealing methamphetamine in this country, certainly not exclusively. There are a lot of players in it that aren't in gangs. But there are also gangs and gang members who are attempting their best to move away from that. Now, we may have absolutely no sympathy with those members, be that as it may, but I think we can have sympathy with their whānau and particularly with their kids. People and families who are ravaged with methamphetamine don't do well, particularly their children. And if they're going to school unfed, if they're perhaps in situations of domestic violence, you know, one, we've got a moral obligation to those kids, I would argue. But two, invariably, they become the next generation of gang members, the next generation of offenders. If we can intervene with them, then it's not just a good for them, it's a good for the whole community.
When you talk about kids and younger generations, how do you intervene there? I know over the past year or so there's been a lot of criticism of Oranga Tamariki. How can you prevent younger people in gangs going into crime?
Yeah, tricky old game that. I mean, there's a couple of answers, I think. But if we reduce the amount of methamphetamine within gang families, then that has a direct impact on those kids. But you're quite right to point out that even those interventions are really only one tool in what needs to be a far more sophisticated toolkit. There needs to be other state agencies involved.
And so these other programs, has there been much targeting of gang-specific issues like poverty or poor education from the government over the past few decades?
No, and the reason for that is quite obvious, and that's as soon as you enter that space, as we've seen around this drug rehabilitation program, then it becomes politically risky, and so we avoid it. And therefore, we avoid attempting to tackle issues. I mean, this is a perfect example of it, isn't it? But look, the one thing I hasten to add here, and this is really important, is that just because you're working with the gangs in certain key areas to try and get better outcomes, does not in any way, shape or form mean that you stop policing them. That when they break the law, when they're engaged in activities that are illegal and often highly damaging, then you police them just as hard as we always have. That's a key component of this.
I've seen you've said in some other interviews that not all gang members are criminals, but are gangs still fundamentally criminal organisations, even if they have non-criminals in them?
There's a definitional issue here, right, which is going to sound like it's just a trick of semantics, and this is whether or not they are criminal groups or whether they're a group made up of criminals. We tend to perceive the gangs as sitting around a table and organising crime, and, you know, it's a collective endeavour in the same way that we would see mafia-type groups. Whereas in reality, the organised crime that's committed in the gangs tends to be undertaken by individuals or small cliques within the gang, where many of the members aren't involved at all. So again, even here at the most elementary, the most basic understanding of gangs, the vast majority of the public and the vast majority of politicians just don't understand the basics.
There's clearly a movement to work with gangs. The government, with this program, there was another sort of controversy a few weeks ago when Marama Davidson and the Human Rights Commissioner visiting Mongrel Mob headquarters. Even when the government's working with gangs on some issues, such as meth, do you think their final goal is, and should it be, to end gangs?
Really brilliant question, actually. This is where it gets entirely difficult. So for decades, really, our goal is to get rid of the gangs, eradicate the gangs, and the primary driver for that has been tough policing. So we'll just police them out of existence. That has proven unsuccessful. And so we can continue doing that on the hope that that miraculously works. I think given the history, we ought be sceptical, but nevertheless, the policing is incredibly important for reasons other than just trying to smash the gangs, for sure. But when we turn our attention to working with the gangs, and only we should only be working with certain gangs, those that are open to it, open to change and the like, on very specific issues. The goal there isn't to get rid of the gangs. It's an attempt to make the social outcomes of the gangs more palatable. So if we work with them, for example, around domestic violence issues and methamphetamine issues, if we work with them for the next 10 years, and if at the end of that 10 years the police haven't managed to smash them out of existence or whatever, but we have managed in meaningful ways to reduce the use and distribution of methamphetamine, if we've managed to reduce or remove in many families and whānau domestic violence, what we have got there are some palpable, incredibly important changes which will ripple through the community. You know, it's a tough thing to get your head around, I think, and it took me a long time to get my head around it, so I understand if there's scepticism in the public, I genuinely do. But sometimes the best policies are the ones that have a realistic chance of achieving some success, rather than, you know, the grandiose ones that in the end don't achieve anything at all.
You talk about how some of these parties use these policies to garner political support. Do you think it's actually going to work? Is going tough on crime a politically successful tactic in Aotearoa?
It has worked traditionally, and more sucker to the voting public, more sucker to us if we're going to accept that time and time again. But with that in mind, I think in the last probably 7 or 8 years, stemming actually from a statement that Bill English made when he was finance minister of the National Party, saying that prisons were a moral and fiscal failure, and since then the approach has changed a bit, and I think the public conversation has changed a bit. And so I don't think these things, as it stands right now, are resonating as much with the public as they have in the past, but that can all change pretty quickly.
Are there any other programs or specific areas you'd like to see the government be working with gang members and or ex-gang members?
I think the two areas that we need to work with the gangs primarily in the first instance is around methamphetamine and around domestic violence. Those are the areas where we can potentially make really significant inroads for communities. The real question, I think, and it's not one that's asked a lot and it needs to be asked a lot more, is how we actually do that, because there are a whole lot of fishhooks about working with gangs, a whole lot, and we have to go in with our eyes open. They have to be targeted particularly well at just certain groups of certain chapters, and they have to be monitored incredibly closely. And the other thing we need to do is have a fairly high appetite for failure along the way, because working within crime rehabilitation and prevention is difficult at the best of times. It's one of the toughest things to do. But the payoff, if you can make real dents in some of that behaviour, the flow-on effects will be really, really substantial, because they are a highly criminalised group, so it makes sense to acutely target them.
Finally, I saw you met with Simeon Brown last week. I'm speaking to him a little bit later, and I was curious, did you find much common ground with him?
Look, there'll always be common ground with people, but where it becomes potentially tricky with Simeon is that those oppositional politics, and this is true of National and Labor, it just depends who's in opposition, that the statements become more about chasing votes rather than finding workable solutions. So, you know, that's always a bit of a problem. But in saying that, my door is open to Simeon and to anyone else who wants to talk criminal justice.
That was Jared Gilbert from the University of Canterbury on the Kahukura Meth Rehabilitation Program and gangs in Aotearoa. After speaking to Jared, I wanted to get another perspective on the program, and as I mentioned in the interview, I spoke to National Spokesperson for Police and Corrections, Simeon Brown. Simeon and the National Party have been highly critical of the Kahukura program and say the government is too soft on gangs in New Zealand. We discussed how he thinks the government should work with gangs and New Zealand's approach to crime more generally. I started by asking him whether he believes there are situations where gangs should be consulted with.
Well, I think the reality is here the money's been given directly to Harry Tam and his company, Hard to Reach. You know, whilst there may be some oversight, the reality is these programs should be delivered by people who are professional, professionals who deal with drug addictions and who have the experience and the expertise in the field, and that means it should be going to people like the Salvation Army, who have a track record of actually delivering results but also are accountable back to the government for the funds and have a track record of doing that. What we're doing here is we're effectively funding the people who caused the problem in the first place, and that's unacceptable.
Talking of needing experts involved, Harry Tam is one of the co-directors of Hard to Reach. Angie Wilkinson is the other co-director, who graduated from Victoria University, completed postgraduate in public health at the University of Otago, has had a number of roles as a senior advisor working for different governments, both in New Zealand and Australia. Is that not an expert involved with the program?
Well, the reality is there's no track record here to show that what they do has worked. All we've been told is that they had a pilot program last year, which apparently had some good results, but we haven't been shown...
Isn't that literally a track record?
Well, there's no information that's been shared publicly other than to say, to give some high-level explanation. And, you know, talking to people in the field of drug rehabilitation, and they actually talk about it being far more than just simply putting someone through a quick 10-week course. And there's much more to this that we need to actually know. The government needs to be open and transparent. It needs to share the full results and the findings. And it needs to actually make sure that there's some transparency over this. At this stage, there's been absolutely no transparency.
If you haven't received the information on that trial last year, why are you coming out so strongly against it? If the government needs to provide the information, should you not wait to get that information?
Well, look, I think the onus is on the government. Oh, absolutely not. I think the government's got the onus of the burden of proof here to actually prove to New Zealanders that this is the right thing to do. For a variety of reasons. Firstly, because there's no evidence, they've provided no evidence. Secondly, because it's money going to an active mongrel mob member. And, you know, and the mongrel mob are clearly heavily involved in the supply of meth in the first place, causing misery. And thirdly, the money's coming from the Proceeds of Crime Fund. That Proceeds of Crime Fund was set up to support victims of crime, not to be funding the perpetrators.
Well, when you say there's no evidence, that's the one bit I take slight issue with, because the government has said there was a successful trial from the start of 2020. Do you just disagree on a fact basis with the government?
Well, no, they have not shared anything other than made that statement.
So do you not trust them on that?
Absolutely not. And the reality is the government has been less than transparent over this.
To get funding, this went through the Ministry of Justice, Department of Corrections, Te Puni Kōkiri, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Education, New Zealand Police, the Treasury, Oranga Tamariki, and the Chief Science Advisor, and then the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, and Minister of Justice. From my perspective, it seems like a huge amount of experts there. If we can't trust them, who can we trust?
Well, I think we can certainly trust people like the Salvation Army, who have a track record of delivering good results.
Ahead of the Ministry of Justice.
Well, I think the reality is this is a matter of principle. Should we be funding, putting government funds through gangs or gang members? And I don't think that's the right approach to actually dealing with these issues. And this is a government which has gone very soft on crime, we've seen an explosion in gang numbers. And if you talk to frontline police in the Hawke's Bay, they are absolutely frustrated.
When do you think gangs should be involved in issues around meth rehabilitation? As you've said, meth and gangs are very strongly linked together. What should their role be?
Well, look, I think there's an absolute role where organisations such as the Salvation Army can work with gang members or with people in difficult situations to try and find solutions. But the reality is the government shouldn't be putting the funds in through gangs or gang members. That's not the right way about doing it.
Have you had much personal involvement with gangs? Have you spoken to gang members or ex-gang members, anything like that?
Look, I'm not someone who goes out there and meets with gang members. I don't think that's the right thing for a politician to be doing.
Why not? Because someone like Marama Davidson, who you have criticised for doing exactly that, going to a mongrel mob pad, from what I understand, her perspective is you need to actually talk to the people to understand the issue. Do you not believe that?
Well, look, I think it's quite simple that actually the first thing that needs to happen is the gangs need to stop peddling the meth. If they want to have the respectability of having the government listen to them, they should be stop peddling the meth. They should be handing back their guns and stop perpetrating the violence, particularly the family and sexual violence, which we know gangs perpetrate.
I've heard that argument quite a lot from the National Party, and it's one I truly don't understand, because from what you're saying is gangs need to stop selling meth before we can help them, but gangs have no incentive to currently stop selling meth. How is that going to work?
No, I'm talking about politicians turning up to gang pads. And I don't see why how a politician turning up to a gang pad is going to stop them doing what they're doing. It only gives them more encouragement. It only emboldens them in what they are doing. The reality is politicians shouldn't be giving them that air of respectability, which they don't have.
Robert Muldoon worked fairly closely with gangs in the 1980s. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, look, I don't think that was the right approach then. I don't think it's the right approach now. But I would say that we do see the gang scene has changed significantly, particularly since the 1990s, since meth came into the market. And we've again seen a significant change in the last 5-6 years with the 501 deportee. I just think you can't compare that with now, but at the same time, that doesn't justify what he did then.
You've spoken about how we need to go tougher on crime. Apart from policing, what strategies have actually been used over the past few decades that didn't involve policing? From what I can tell, it's been a response almost entirely focused on the criminal side of things and on punishing gangs. I don't really see where it has gone soft.
I think what we're seeing at the moment under this government is a very clear message being sent that they don't want to see people being put in prison. They've got a target around reducing the prison population. We're seeing the police take a softer approach. I think the area commander in Rotorua has come out and said that arrest is now the exception rather than the norm. What we need is we need to be doing the policing, but we also do need to be doing the work, the social work as well, which is critical to ensure that we don't create an opportunity or make opportunities available for our younger people to be attracted to the gang lifestyle.
Would you like to reduce prison populations?
Look, absolutely. I think every politician would want to see less people in prison, but the reality is I'm not going to have a target around that. What I do want to see is I want to see less victims of crime and less crime being perpetrated in the first place. That's ultimately where resources should be going into prevention of crime and to making sure that we reduce the number of victims of crime.
In 2011, Bill English referred to prisons as a moral and fiscal failure. Would you agree with that?
Well, look, what I would say is that actually what we want to see is fewer people committing crime because that way we'll be fewer people in prison.
But the reality would you agree with prison, that?
Well, I think prison plays an important role in society in a number of ways. And I think the reality is it is about ensuring that people are held to account, but that it's also about rehabilitating people and then reintegrating them back into society.
Talking about rehabilitation, policies such as the three-strike policy that National introduced has been criticised by some people for doing the opposite of a rehabilitative approach because it enforces the maximum sentence on that third strike. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think the reality is that is important because actually if someone's going to continue offending, particularly with a strike offence, which is a serious offence, then actually there needs to be accountability and that public needs to be protected.
On the tough on crime aspect of this, what research have you looked at that being tough on crime is a successful policy?
Well, I think there's a lot of research out there, but it needs to look at the reality of putting people in prison. If you put someone in prison, they're not creating victims in society. That's something which a lot of people actually ignore. That's part of the reality. If someone's in prison, they're not in society, actually causing more victims.
What you're saying there doesn't sound to me like a rehabilitative approach because you're saying criminals sort of stop being criminals once we lock them up.
Well, no, I'm saying that actually we need to ensure that people who are posing a risk to society actually need to be held to account, and so they're not creating other victims at the same time. Then whilst they're in prison, they can receive the rehabilitative support. And as I said, currently what we're seeing in our prisons is actually all of the support is actually being reduced. Now, that's something which I find appalling, and I think everyone would find appalling, because we do know that when you provide rehabilitative support, actually in prisons it does work.
That was National spokesperson for Police and Corrections, Simeon Brown. I did also want to get a first-hand account from someone directly involved in the Kahukura program. However, hard to reach as Harry Tam declined an interview. But we're working on it, so hopefully next week we'll have some more on meth rehabilitation programs in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.